Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Today, we are going into part two of prayer hindrances and talking with God. And when it comes to talking with God and answering our prayers, there are things that are keeping us from letting us hear God. In other words, we're not getting a direct connection to God for something that we are lacking in our prayers. And one of the things that I would like to speak on and everyone would like to take a part in, and one of them is unconfessed sin. And to me, unconfessed sin is the most common prayer killer. In Psalm 66:18, it says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord does not hear." Now, what does that mean? And I'm asking everyone to open up the floor and what they think that means to them. And maybe you can speak on something that you have gone through in your life where you are a testimony for an unconfessed sin. And anyone is open. Anyone wanted to share? Deacon Chapman?
Well, that is just things I acknowledge and have confessed my sins before the Lord on a daily basis. So, but there are sins that maybe in the future I may commit, but I haven't got to that future beyond this day.
Yes.
And I go before the Lord on an acknowledgement of sins, maybe have I know of or don't know of, if I've offended anybody in my conversation, unbeknown to me, that I acknowledge that and I sin of it. And he said he put those sins behind him and started afresh on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the problem is that the people that they have unconfessed sins, they don't feel they have sinned. Or they don't really know what sin really is or what prayer really is. And the basis of a prayer is that you go to God, a conversation. A lot of people pray scriptures or they want to pray. I've heard someone else pray, but it's actually your conversation with God on a personal basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, 6th chapter of Matthew, that you go into your private closet and you close the door, because some prayers are just between you and him. But a lot of times we want to pray like the publican.
Mm-hmm.
And we want other people to hear our prayers, hear how faithful we are. And it's just like an egg. You know, an egg is a shell, a yolk, and white. But when you break it open and spread in the frying pan and hit the heat, and see, a lot of us can't stand the heat. And realizing that God is in control. But a lot of time we want to praise God, worship God, but we don't want God to tell us how to live, how to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't receive an answer for unfragrant prayers, because sometimes God protects us from our own self when he does not answer the prayer right away. And I'll give you an example. Someone is rushing to a meeting, an appointment. They have a blowout on the freeway. They have to pull over to the side. The highway patrol become and offer assistance, and you give him a few unfound words that you shouldn't be saying in the first place. And he said, "Well, I was on my way. There's a major accident up the hill, and there's a lot of people got hurt." So actually, if they hadn't had that blowout and had to pull the side of the road, they might have been involved in that accident.
Mm-hmm.
But they're praying for a safe passage to the meeting. So actually, God intervened and gave them a safe passage by giving the blowout to stall them, to keep them from being involved into that major crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, when the first thing you find out something in the nature, the first thing you should do is thank God for his protection.
That's right. That's right. I think a lot of times when we have sins that we are not aware of, sometimes it's a doubt. Sometimes it's sometimes you have to take your thoughts and you have to beat it up into subjection to the will of God.
Because he's in
you have to beat yourself up. You have to speak life or speak over yourself. You have to speak the word of wisdom. And a lot of times you need to just take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. My dad used to say that all the time to me. Whenever I would have a talk with him or something was bothering me or things like that, he would always tell me, take your burden to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, too, when John was telling us in 1 John about we could confess our sins, we will be forgiven, right? And he cleansed us from all wrongs that we have done. But a lot of times, if we don't confess those sins, how can you be forgiven? Is the question. Because you remember on the cross, Christ said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now he was he speaking to those that were surrounded around him, or was he speaking to us forward into the future of the believers today? Because when we were enemies of God up until the point where Christ gave his life on the cross, that we may have an opportunity to go before God in one-on-one. Before, we had to have a sacrifice, but there are no longer sacrifices, but still we do idol sacrifices. Not pay attention to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Christ and his ascension, because he ascended to the Father, sit on the right hand to be our mediator and our advocate against the devil, who's accusing us 24/7. So Because sin began at the beginning of human history by the fall of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And sin has continuated through that gene pool down to the present age. And I think, like I said earlier, a lot of people will create verbal actions or they'll create physical actions, and they don't feel that they have sinned because they don't know what sin really is.
I know.
So, and,
that's true.
And when you have sin, you lack peace, because God is peace. And a lot of people do not have peace within themselves. And by trusting in the sacrificial death of Christ,
mm-hmm.
set free, but we're still held captive by the things we do, what we believe, and what we say.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because
when you say
the Bible actually teaches us when you get an in-depth study, and he cleansed us from all the wrong
mm-hmm.
That we have done. So in other words, if you sinned yesterday, that was a sin that you done yesterday. So through your repentance, your acknowledgement and your repentance of that, because we are in the repentance stage. A lot of us will get out and say, oh, Lord, forgive me for this, that, or the other. But we need to acknowledge it. Confession means acknowledge it. And when you acknowledge that sin, we can and go before him in repentance. He can cleanse us of that. We start afresh. But then you continue to repeat the same sin. So you become habitual in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes we can attach sin to us just like we attach something with Velcro.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that we should always be looking for the truth instead of something new. See, a lot of people, I want to hear something new. You go from church to church and from place, seminar to seminar, conference to conference, they want to hear something new. No. You want to hear the truth. You want to learn the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Being a Bible teaching truth, word teaching congregation that's teaching you how to become a believer in the body of Christ, because we all can do church. We can go through the motions, and today churches are just going through the motions. Reciprocity, prosperity, seed blessing, buy this trinket, buy these books, and you'll be blessed. I'll make a covenant with you if you contributed a love offering of 217. You cannot buy the blessings of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say he gave his only God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, you look at he gave his, God speaking to himself twice, but a different wording in the English language, he and his. So are we going to believe that? Are we going to have faith in that? The thing about faith is always I trust him who is him, and you trust Christ. Are you trusting Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Not the trust in your values in man, but you put in the trust in what Christ did for you. Mohammed didn't die for you. Hare Krishna didn't die for you. Buddha didn't die for you. Because none of those got up. Even David did not get up. Peter said in Acts that David is still resting in his sepulcher. But Christ
mm-hmm.
is the one that we have the biblical truth of, that God rose him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, follow me. He told his first disciples that he chose, he said, follow me. Even
mm-hmm.
in Luke 22, after they had the Lord's Supper, they followed him into the garden to pray. But then when the guards came to arrest him after the in John, after the betrayal of Judas, they ran.
Mm-hmm.
But also he said, let them go. Because he was the one that was going to take on the guilt, not them, because he had other work for them to do to further this gospel that he was teaching them. And that is when we learned the Bible. And
mm-hmm.
learn where it is, we become a witness for him. Because them, the 12, well, they called the 12, but it was actually 11, because Judas had already died and committed
mm-hmm.
suicide, that they would be witness
right.
for him in Jerusalem, Judea, America, and other parts of the world. So how can you be a witness if you don't learn what God's word is and about his healing, his power, his death, his burial, and his resurrection? And today and age, he still can heal according to God's will by you having faith. You have to have faith that you're going to be healed. But it's all, that's why you look at you see the sickness, you're the sick and sick. Not what I serve as men to you, but being a servant of God from the heart.
The heart.
So when you get God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit operating in your heart, because John said, greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater to me, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's just like there's a lot of misconception of what the Trinity is, which is not a biblical word. But when you look in the Matthew, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So the, each time, gives you three different persons in the one Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, do you believe that? That's true. That's the question.
That's right. I agree with you. And when it comes to sin, and I'm just going to make this last point so we can move on to the next one. Sin seems sometimes to develop in stages. And first is our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And the scripture states in Matthew 15, 10 and 20, but the first one is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If the thoughts of your heart are angry, lustful, jealous, and the like, then it is an indication of whom we are, even if it is not what we want or claim to be. So that's kind of like where we are when it comes to sin and trying to be connected to God, because God can't live in sin. And so you got to give that to God and let it go. And he'll help you with whatever it is that's keeping you in your sin. So now we're going to move on to the next one, which is going to be lack of faith. And lack of faith is to me, is negative. Because without faith, prayer has no power. Mark 6 and 1 through 6, James is calling on those that are in doubt. You can't doubt anything that is of God, because God is truth. And whatever says God says in his word, it is truth. And I'm going to use an example that I have gone through in my own life right at this particular moment. I was doing some positive things in my life, and I'm going in territories that I've never been before, but it's something that I have to do. And so as I go through the process of the things that I need to do in my life, my background keeps coming at me. And it's like either they want to explain my background or they need more. I'm being denied because of my background. And I keep saying to myself, as far as what the Word of God says, if God don't remember my sins no more, why should I remember them? But it's man that keeps me. And so I have been focusing on being positive, doing what they asked me to do. And I was at church, and my church was telling me, don't be afraid. You got to come out with confidence. You got to come out with boldness. And don't be afraid, because whatever comes your way, God is here. God is everything. Between a doctor and God, God has already has answered whatever the doctor is going to say. So that Monday, I went ahead and turned my papers in. I was not afraid anymore. And 3 days later, I got a letter in the mail, and it says that, congratulations, your background has become approved. So when I look at that, God has already answered, but I kept being afraid because of my background. And so when I came out and stopped being afraid and came out on my face, because I am bold in God and I do have confidence in God, that's when I got my answers to my prayer. But the other time that it took me to turn that paper in, even though I gave it to the Lord, my prayer wasn't being answered until after I came out into my boldness, into my confidence in God. And I just wanted to share that with you. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that one?
Well, did you say that you really put in the statement about your background, your truth about your background?
Right. In other words, we all fall short of the glory of God. And my background doesn't look pretty.
I think it's in, it's in Corinthians. It says that when we are truthful, I think it's 1 Corinthians 3 and I can't remember exactly, but in other words, a lot of times we are not faithful. We are faithful, but no, we are fearful of the judgment that is going to be brought against us for not being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of time when you have the boldness to explain the past,
mm-hmm.
in other words, you're actually acknowledging what your past was. So
mm-hmm.
fear, a lot of us have we will let a negative past interfere with a positive spiritual future. But when we actually admit what we have been through, and we don't have
mm-hmm.
to fear that we've admitted, we go in prayer and turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord handle it, because he's in charge of any and everything. So by you being truthful up to that, you are
mm-hmm.
not only confessing to through the written word, through your writing of what your
mm-hmm.
negative past was, but actually God is seeing that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I admitted everything, but I just explained to them that's not who I am today. But I didn't want the decision that they made based on my past. It's got to be based on my present, because that's who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And God saw that, and God answered my prayers. But the moment I stayed in that fearfulness of not taking that paperwork in, of not being afraid that they're going to say no to me, that's when I never got an answer. But the moment I gave them the paperwork and let God handle it, then my prayer was answered, and I got an approval from my negative, because I gave them everything I could ever have, and I'm happy about it. I'm really happy, because I just showed it just brought my faith up even bigger. And I just felt like today there's nothing that God can't do for me, regardless of my past. It's no longer there anymore. Jesus Christ is my victory today.
Well, 2 John 1:7 said he gave us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
Exactly.
So that mind is not supposed to be fearful, but to willingly acknowledge the truth And who is the truth? And who is the truth? Christ, God, the Holy Spirit. And for us to sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, that's an apostate, they say. So if the job was not meant for you, it wasn't meant for you, but if it was meant for you, it was meant for you.
And
that it, God said he put your sins behind you, but you have to confess those sins, like we was talking about earlier. In other words, you got to acknowledge that you have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
But then
yes,
when you,
exactly.
And you close that door and lock it from the past.
Right.
Because if you keep that, like in the book of Hebrews, that they rejected Christ and they turned their back on the church and walked away. Or we can say they turned their back on the church and walked away from Christ because of the fact they refused to continue in the faith. They wanted to see something
mm-hmm.
physical. Go back to physical sacrifices, back under to the law. We are not under the law, we are under grace. The grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. And thank God that he gave us his salvation, he gave us justification, he gave us mercy. But most of all, he held back his judgment to give us an opportunity through Christ that we can gain eternal life. In one of my favorite scriptures, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get the Father, but by me, by him, he is the door. You cannot go nowhere unless you go to God through his Son.
Amen.
Which is fully God and fully man. You remember blind Bartimaeus, he cried out, Son of David?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say Son of God or Jesus. He said Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gives him, he came through the lineage of the house of David through Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Which he is now our high priest, so that's who we go through. He is our witnessing power in heaven for the righteousness of God that we obtain on earth through the cross as believers. Now, not as faithful, as hooping and hollering and singing and running and ripping, hollering, Holy Ghost power, but that we truly believe that he was the only begotten Son of God, that God sent him here to save us from the entrapment of our sin. That we committed by choice. Nobody held a gun on our head the whole, but that traumatic incident that happened in our life will let us lose it. And we go into, mental turmoil to the point where we just go blind and have no feeling that we commit a sinful act. But then also, too, we have to think, we have to pay for that.
Amen.
When we have, and
right.
When we make a confession, we have to hold fast to that confession.
Mhm. That's correct.
You know, I want to say this here.
Okay.
I want to say, there's things we have to settle.
Mhm.
And when we take responsibility for our wrong, we will have to admit them, and we cannot sins in Proverbs 28:13. We have to take responsibility. Part before we can expect God to come to our defense. And see, and that's what you did. That's just
amen.
You took responsibility for that you didn't
that's
cover.
Indeed.
See, and you took responsibility, and then the Lord comes before he can expect us to come to our defense because we have confessed that what we have done. We take responsibility. The Lord comes to our defense, and we have to forgive. We forgive our go even further. He's given you that power. He's opened that door for you now to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That was a good word for that. Amen. And which leads us right into the last one that we have time for is the unsurrendered will.
Wow.
And those who surrender to God have a relationship with him. Just like in the parable of the vine, John 15:7. So when I think about it, and on a daily basis, we got to surrender our will to God on a daily basis. What do you guys think about that one?
Well, let's go back to earlier what I said on the day of the fifth, we have to go for in front of him in repentance. See, because Luke chapter 3 of verses 10 through 14 explains to us what does it mean to repent and who needs to repent and why do we have to repent. We have to repent because we have to sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's an act of evilness. And our way back to God is to acknowledge that sin, repent of that sin, and ask for him, because he's already forgiven us.
Mm-hmm.
Thing about it, well, this kind of little sidebar, we ask God for power to forgive someone, well, for him to forgive us, to forgive someone that has transgressed against us, but a lot of times we fail to forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge, because if you have a problem, if you don't recognize and admit you had a problem, you're going to still operate in that problem.
That's true.
You know, so when you become a servant, when you become a servant of God, and he's the master of your life, now Jesus can call you friend, and that's in John 15,
mm-hmm.
being a friend of Christ, the Son, because what you have done, you have made known to the Father from your
mm-hmm.
heart that you have repented of your past your sins that you have committed. But the thing about it is, you don't want to go back and repeat those same sins.
Mm-hmm.
See, because you look at Jesus' brother, he ridiculed him, James. But when he saw him risen from the grave, and who would more recognize Jesus but James, because he slept with him, played with him, ate with him, might have argued with him, the scriptures don't say. But the thing
mm-hmm.
about it, he found out who his Jesus really was. And
yeah.
the part played in his life beyond the grave. In other words, James was a traumatic prayer, because they say when James was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple that his knees look like camel knees, so that means, because camels kneel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it, we kneel in prayer. When we go before God in our prayers, in our repentant prayers, do we kneel?
Right.
You see? And our glorification comes from the Father. But just like your father, you go to your father with your problems, right? Your biological father with your problems.
Exactly.
That is the same way for us to come to him, go to him with our problems.
Right.
Because he is the one that after can say set the situation straight, but we have to be patient to wait on it, because in Revelation 3 and 10, he talks about it. They waited on his patience at the church in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I think the closer you get to God, the more that he reveals to you, and you don't want to displease him, and you feel that whatever issues that you have, you can go to him. And when I look at him as trophy, the things that he has done in your life in the past, he's never going to leave you or forsake you. And you can go to him because you can trust him. You can go to your friends. You can go even to my own father. But there's nothing like going to the Father, our Heavenly Father, and anything that we need. So, and when you go to him, you find that peace. And when you're not in his peace, you know something's not right in your life. And it's just so much easier and so more comforting to go to the Father and anything, because he always has an answer. And you don't want to displease him. You want to please him in everything that you do and everything that you say. And the other thing I just want to say is that other people are watching you, and you're an example of Jesus. And so even if you don't know a person, even if a person doesn't even know God, if they see you, the light of God in you,
you are an example to them that will lead them to God. And I just, that's just what I wanted to share on that one. So that unsurrendered will is, you know, confessing to God, being in his will, being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is concerned over your heart. He's not concerned over your friends or the people that you hang out with. He's concerned with your heart. And if you know God and you have, like, people in your own household that don't know God, you are an example so that they can also know God as well. And so if any guys have any other comments or questions, we can go ahead and close in prayer. Does anyone have any more comments or questions?
Well, to gain peace, we have to consider trust in God. Isaiah 26:3 talks about that. And peace comes by faith in Christ, Romans 5:1. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and having inner peace in our is part of the works of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. So, is the thing about it, to be a witness for Christ, you first have to enter his rest and have peace. In other words,
correct.
To sum it up, always do what's right, even if you don't feel like it. Think, what is the right thing for me to do? And if you cannot realize your own intellect, be patient, be quiet, give it to God, and wait on his answer.
Amen. Amen. We have a caller on. Do you have any comments? Is that Brother Bond? Okay. Okay. Deacon Chapman, would you like to close in prayer?
Well, Father God, we come before again in the close of this session, Father. We pray that whoever have had an open ear, Father, have listened at what we said, and may it have put an emphasis on something they may be going through in their lives, Father, person, that it can be rectified. We can't undo what's done, but we can go to you, Father, in prayer, acknowledgement, confession of whatever sins that we have committed, unbeknownly and knowingly, Father, because you are in control, you are in power. You are the only one, Father, that can forgive. And we ask, Father, that if anyone there that have had a sin that they have not come to you in forgiveness, that they would approach your throne of grace today, Father. Bless the radio station. Bless the comments that were made from the people that made them, Father. And bless Sister Faith. Bless her
continuation.
And I pray that they have more input on this particular subject. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you all for tuning in today, and thank you for all for your comments. They were so vitally important to all of us and to all those who listened today. And I hope all of you guys have a very peaceful and blessed evening. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.
Sometimes things grow cold. In this life, tests can take their tolls. But one thing my God promised.